This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, June 29th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, how knowledgeable are you about ticks? You can take a tick quiz along with our interns. Participants in KGNU's Media Gardens Youth Radio Training Program share their thoughts on legal access to an abortion. As always on Wednesday morning, we'll have Chris Moore's commentary, Make Them Hear You, and then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. After that, teen book reviewer Phoebe Donovan will interview author Crystal Maldonado about her latest book, No Filter and Other Lies. Then at 9 a.m., we'll have a special Donnie Betts radio theater broadcast of Give Me Liberty, A Free Man's Story, an audio drama of historical fiction written by John and Sydney Futrell. The piece was inspired by real events as described in genealogy documents. The story is decorated with prose, creativity, humor, and lived experience by the husband and wife writing team. Then at 9:30, Uncle Jeff will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first a look at the headlines with KGNU's Nicole Rubin.
Primary elections took place across Colorado on Tuesday, and most of the unofficial results are in. State Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer won the Republican nomination for the 8th Congressional District. The recently created district spans from Commerce City up to Greeley. Areas included are Adams, Laramie, and Weld counties. Kirkmeyer served as a Weld County Commissioner and represents Colorado's 23rd District. She will be up against Yadira Caraveo, who ran uncontested in the Democratic primary. Caraveo currently represents District 31 in the Colorado House of Representatives. The U.S. House of Representatives race for the new district is anticipated to be among the most contested in the country. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, an avid Trump supporter and far-right Republican candidate, won her seat Tuesday for the Colorado's 3rd District. At a rally Sunday, Boebert said she was tired of the separation of church and state junk. Boebert, who outspent her Republican opponent, will face Democratic opponent Don Corum this fall. Colorado's gubernatorial race will pit Democratic incumbent and sitting governor Jared Polis against a large University of Colorado Board of Regents member, Heidi Ganell. Ganell defeated Republican challenger Greg Lopez, a former mayor of Parker and proponent of unproven claims of fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Lopez wasn't the only Republican challenger to lose in Tuesday's primaries. Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, arguably the most visible election fraud conspiracy theorist holding office in Colorado, lost her bid to run on the Republican ticket for Colorado Secretary of State. Republican Pam Anderson, a former Jefferson County clerk, will challenge Democratic incumbent Secretary of State Jenna Griswold in the November general election. Another election denier, Ron Hanks, lost in the Republican primary to Denver businessman Joe O'Dea for the chance to run against Democratic incumbent Michael Bennett for one of two Colorado Senate seats. Hanks was present at the pro-Trump rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, but denies entering the Capitol grounds. Here in Boulder County, unofficial results posted at 1 a.m. show Louisville Mayor Ashley Stoltzman holding a thin lead over Elena Shively for the Democratic nomination for the open Boulder County Commissioner seat. Kurtz Johnson currently holds a wide margin of victory in his primary race for the office of Boulder County Sheriff. Kurtz was endorsed by a longtime county sheriff, Joe Paley. The CU Boulder Hall of Fame inducts superfans. KGNU's Kiara Damare has more.
The University of Colorado Boulder's Athletic Department announced the opening of a legacy wing in their Athletic Hall of Honor. On Monday, the university announced that famous fans, the Twins, Peggy Copham and the late Betty Hoover, are the first inductees. The Twins hold the record for attending the most CU games ever, and they were always spotted wearing matching outfits and holding gold pom-poms. CU Athletic Director Rick George told Copman, "It's a tremendous honor for you and Betty, and we want to protect your legacy for what the two of you have meant to our athletic department for decades." For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
An emergency ordinance will allow Broomfield police officers to enforce restrictions on open burning and was passed unanimously at Tuesday's Broomfield City Council meeting. This comes before the 4th of July holiday to encourage people to refrain from using fireworks and other outdoor burning activities. According to the ordinance memo, state restrictions will prohibit outdoor burning in certain circumstances, but they do not allow Broomfield officers the ability to enforce or monitor them. Monitoring and enforcing laws that restrict dangerous outdoor burning is important to maintain and lowering the risk of wildfires within Broomfield, the memo says. The goal of the Broomfield officers will be to gain voluntary compliance when violations are reported, but citations will now be optional under this ordinance. In Boulder, it is a high of 88 and a low of 59. In Denver, it's a high of 92 and a low of 65. In Fort Collins, it's a high of 91 and a low of 56. Expect cloudy conditions across the Front Range today and some isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. As Coloradans hit the trails this summer, the fear of ticks may loom in the back of their minds. The blood-sucking creatures are notorious for carrying Lyme disease, and there are many myths about what they are and how to avoid them. KGNU's Alexis Kenyon spoke with Dr. Jean Sow of Michigan State University to get the facts straight, and then she grilled a few of our interns on their tick knowledge.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Always
Thank
a pleasure.
Thank you. I love learning.
Really passionate about ticks.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start out with some general tick knowledge questions. So is a tick an A, weevil, B, insect, C, mite, or D, none of the above?
What's a weevil?
I can't say that I know what a weevil is. It's 100% not an insect.
None of the above.
I don't remember what A and B were.
I remember learning insect has six legs, so I'm going to go insect.
No, they have four.
Guess I'm going weevil.
Okay, let's hear what Dr. Sow had to say.
A tick is a specialized mite. Ticks are not insects. So a weevil, I'll start with that, is actually an insect. A mite is more closely related to spiders. They're eight-legged arthropods, as opposed to insects, which are six-legged.
What?
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Which type of tick is most likely to bite you? Is it A, an adult female, B, an adult male, C, a nymph, D, other?
Adult female.
Go on the basis of mosquitoes and say female.
Adult male.
That's what I said, Kiara.
Thank you.
Let's see what Dr. Sow says.
So that depends on where you live. In Colorado, you have the Rocky Mountain wood tick, and it's active during the spring. So you see the female and the male, and it is the adult life stage that is active at that point. There are other life stages, but they don't contact humans very much. And so that's why in Colorado, you're lucky. You only have really that springtime that you have to really worry about frequently biting ticks. And then the other ticks that people in Colorado might get would be soft ticks, which look like aliens, but those ticks are more associated with nests. And usually we as humans walking around the woods don't contact them. But if you go staying in cabins, rustic cabins, those ticks might live in those cabins. And then at night, it's creepy. When you're sleeping, they may come out.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, right.
Yikes. Okay, so if we're not all too grossed out, we'll continue with our tick quiz. So the next question is, how are you supposed to get rid of a tick that has bitten you? Is it A, Vaseline, B, pull it off with your fingers, C, match, or D, tweezers?
I have heard of things like using a match. I have also heard of things like putting stuff on it just so the tick like suffocates, essentially. and then it just kind of dies.
I've also.
What else did you guys match, hear?
Yeah. I've heard the Vaseline one.
I know.
Match.
I'm going match.
Vaseline.
Vaseline.
Let's hear the correct answer.
Tweezers would be the best way.
What?
You want to grab a tick at the closest point of attachment to your skin. You don't want to grab the tick by the body because you might break off the mouth parts. And the reason why the Vaseline and the match might not work is when the tick has committed to feeding in you, it starts to secrete a cement-like substance that anchors itself in you. And when the tick is done feeding, it secretes other chemicals, molecules, you know, to break down that cement and back out. And so that's why putting Vaseline on or a match, it's not going to be secreting those, you know, molecules fast enough, my guess, to really back out.
Okay, guys, final question. How long does it take for a tick to pass bacteria to its host after it's bitten you?
Is it A, instantaneously, B, 7 hours, C, 15 minutes, D, other?
I have no clue.
I would go other and say 3 hours.
Me too.
I'll say 7 hours.
It's 15 minutes.
Oh.
Well, let me play for you how she explains it.
So 15 minutes is the Powassan virus that we know about. And we want to get the ticks off as soon as possible because the longer they're on, if they're infected, not every tick is infected, you know, the greater the chance that it will transmit. But for instance, the Lyme disease bacterium takes 36 hours of feeding to be able to really transmit.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. If people find a tick attached to them, if they're in an area where there's a high risk of Lyme disease, then that qualifies that person to potentially take one dose of prophylactic antibiotics against the Lyme disease organism. And so that's why that 36 hours comes into play. But in my general outreach, you know, to people, I like to tell people, don't panic. Yeah. Enjoy nature, despite the fact that there are ticks out there, but just take precautions.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Sao, that seems like as positive a note as we're going to get in this conversation. Thanks so much for your help with our intern quiz. And thank you to Kiara Damari, Jimmy Sierfoss, Luis Licon, and Christian Garibay for participating.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
Around half of the states in the U.S. are expected to either ban or severely restrict access to what had been until recently a federally protected right to terminate a pregnancy. Three teenage girls with the KGNU Media Gardens Youth Radio Production Program discuss and share their opinions about abortion.
This is KGNU Media Gardens, Nuestras Ondas, La Encrucijada, where Boulder County youth tell their stories, give their perspectives, and become a seed to amplify youth voices from our community. Today's segment is brought to you in partnership with Skyline High School's Dreamers Cohort from the I Have a Dream Foundation of Boulder County.
Hello, my name is Axel, and I'm here with
Brittany
and Catalina.
We come to Skyline High School.
We are all in 10th grade.
Today, we are going to be talking about abortion, and we're going to be giving you guys our opinion about it. So, as you all may know, an abortion is a medical procedure that ends a pregnancy. And I feel like here in the United States, or just like anywhere, abortion is a very controversial topic, and a lot of women get criticized and judged for it.
We don't think it's right that women are getting criticized and judged for it because us women go through a lot. Hormones change, your body changes, you give life to a human, which is a big deal. We also think that, like, if she got, like, raped or something, like, I guess she should have her own opinion on she wanted to have the kid or she doesn't, because she's the one that got raped, not the guy that got raped.
And not just that, but like, what if they're homeless and they don't have like a home, food? You know, taking care of a child is not like just, oh yeah, it's a baby, whatever. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, it's like you're bringing another life to the world.
Yeah, and if you don't have like the money, the house, everything is just hard. I guess your parents can help you, but you just need to be financially stable.
I feel like an abortion won't also wipe all the confusions or fear or whatever it is that she's feeling.
Everybody has their own feelings and everybody's going to feel a certain type of way. But I feel like that's something that you can't take away from a woman, because once you're aborting, it's like, I guess you feel guilty because of everything that other people say, that, oh my God, you're killing a baby, this and this and that. You know, but yeah. It's not a baby form. Like, it's not a baby yet. It's cells.
I feel like abortion has the same risk as like being during pregnancy and after pregnancy. Not even just that, but like giving birth is a big one. So like, I really don't think why men should have an opinion if like they don't have a girl's body in a way, if I can explain it.
We also feel like teen pregnancy is very controversial, I guess you could say, because it's a baby taking care of a baby. I just feel like some girls are not mature.
Some of them, like, I don't know, they don't have like their life set up in a way. They're still going to school. They still don't graduate.
Some of them don't even know what they want to do with their life yet. And I feel like them not being able to abort is just like having a baby, and they're not ready for that. So we're going to switch it up a little bit and say what the Spanish culture thinks about it, especially the Mexican part, because I just feel like it's very hard for them.
Vamos a cambiar un poco el tema y cambiar idioma a español.
Siento que el aborto en la comunidad hispana o latina es un tema que muchos papás piensan que es como un pecado y lo toman mal.
Siento también como muchos fueron papás, como vamos a decir, a los 14 años, dicen que como toman a mal abortar a un niño, si ellos pudieron.
¿Cómo no vas a poder tú?
Ajá, así.
Es así piensan.
Sí.
So thank you guys for listening to our podcast. We really enjoyed giving our opinion to this.
Muchas gracias a todos los que escucharon nuestro podcast,
que nomás son pocos, pero, pero esto concluye nuestras opiniones en abortar. Por la calle más recta.
A diversity of youth voices and perspectives is crucial for a rich, informative, and creative media landscape that enables the growth of civic participation and community strengthening. The KGNU Media Gardens Youth Initiative will continue to amplify more young voices and perspectives through these airwaves.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. 2/3 of people responding to a recent NPR poll say they or someone they know has had an abortion. That was true of 3/4 of independents. 58% said they have not very much or no confidence at all in the Supreme Court. 78% of Democrats say the court's decision makes them more likely to vote this fall, 24 points ahead of Republicans. Democrats are polling better with voters, with 48% saying they are more likely to vote for a Democrat this November, and 41% more likely to vote Republican. In April, Republicans led on that question in the poll, 47-44%. Stacey Abrams on Sunday called to revive a legislative solution to restore nationwide access to abortion. In her own state of Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp, Abrams' opponent in November, signed a bill that bans abortions when fetal heartbeat can be detected, 6 weeks into a pregnancy when most women don't even know they're pregnant. Quote, "We know that the right to choose should not be divvied up amongst states, and that the sinister practice of taking constitutional rights and allowing each state to decide the quality of your citizenship is wrong. Women deserve bodily autonomy. They deserve the right to make these choices," close quote. Since Friday's Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, several states are banning or restricting abortion. Quote, "I believe there should be federal law that allows women to have these choices, to have reproductive choice and reproductive justice, and I think it has to stop being a political football where the ideology of the leader of a state can determine the quality of a life for a woman and her ability to make the choices she needs." The Democratic-led Women's Health Protection Act, a bill aimed at preserving access to abortion, has been stalled in the Senate. but AOC and Sanders, as well as others, are now urgently calling for its revival. Quote, Congress must pass legislation that codifies Roe v. Wade as the law of the land in this country now, Sanders tweeted. And if there aren't 60 votes in the Senate to do that, and there are not, we must end the filibuster to pass it with 50 votes, close quote. Joe Biden said, quote, I believe that a woman's right to choose is fundamental. Roe has been the law of the land for almost 50 years, and basic fairness and the stability of our law demand that it not be overturned. At the federal level, we will need more pro-choice senators and a pro-choice majority in the House to adopt legislation that codifies Roe, which I will work to pass and sign into law, close quote. Many Democrats have joined Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez in calling for Roe to be codified. Quote, it is a fundamental right for a woman to make her own health decisions, Senator Amy Klobuchar tweeted. We must protect the right to choose and codify Roe v. Wade into law. So if you have thoughts on reviving the Women's Health Protection Act of 2022, you can contact your senators and congressperson. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
It's now time to check in with herbalist Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars, and I've been talking about ways we can do natural self-care based on the chakras. And today, we are at the Hara, or the center that corresponds to the color yellow, our abdominal region, and it is the fire element. So we now know that about 80% of our immune system is made in our gut, and also many of our neurotransmitters are made in our gut as well. So digestive problems don't only affect our sense of well-being in our stomach, they affect everything, immunity and our mental well-being. How important. So what can we do to take better care of that? A simple thing I have found is not to drink water with meals. When we drink with meals, we dilute our digestive enzymes. It also causes us not to chew our food very well and kind of swallow it whole. And if we step back for a moment, how about eating more mindfully to take our portion and to give a little blessing or just a moment of silence or somehow be thankful that we have food? So many people are taking things to help with their digestion, and they maybe really want to look at, are they putting the wrong kind of fuel in? I see a lot of people who have everything improved by looking at things that they might be sensitive to, allergic to. Even if they've had allergy testing done, they may find that going off of gluten or dairy or soy or corn or sugar or caffeine makes all the difference in the world. And then people wonder about, well, what can I eat? So it's really best to focus on what we can eat rather than what we can't eat. But some wonderful foods I find that are nourishing for our stomach, Hara, digestive center, are things like baked sweet potatoes, winter squash, pumpkin, millet, an ancient grain, one that is really easy to digest and very alkalinizing, using quinoa more than grains that are in the grass family. The ancient tradition of drinking lemon and water first thing in the morning might also be a helpful thing. And use more culinary herbs, cinnamon, ginger, oregano, basil, thyme, cloves, they all increase circulation to the digestive tract. Cumin, they might make your food easier to digest. And following a meal with a cup of peppermint or ginger tea might also help. And some people may need to take digestive enzymes, and I think that can be very helpful. But in any case, this center is so important to everything. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Nicole Rubin, Chiara De Mare, Alexis Kenyon, Chris Moore, Brigitte Mars, and the Media Gardens crew for their contributions to today's program. If you have a comment that you'd like to make about something you heard on KGNU, you can give us a call at our comment line at 303-447-9911. We play those messages back on Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown and then an interview with author Crystal Maldonado. At 9 a.m., we present a special radio theater broadcast of Give Me Liberty, A Free Man's Story. This will be the first in a two-day series. That's coming right up after these news headlines from the BBC.